There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Okay, well, one more question. Can we get one more question?
Number one, I was a Democratic caucus. You ever been to a caucus? No, you haven't. You're a lying dog-faced pony soldier. You said you were, but now you got to be honest. I'm going to be honest with you.
So there you go. So just the one more question. Did he say that he was a caucus or he was at the caucus? Can we roll that back one more time?
Number one, I was a Democratic caucus. You ever been to a caucus? No, you haven't. You're a lying dog-faced pony soldier. You said you were, but now you got to be honest. I'm going to be honest with you.
Okay, he was saying Iowa Democrat caucus, and then he was, comma, you ever been to one? Interrogatory. Okay, I guess that's where he's going with it. Hey, 1207 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this Monday. Live local talk over the next couple of hours. Glad y'all are here, and there is a lot to do here. Even though I would say that some of these stories out there, you would think that there's not much to talk about, but there are things. There are things. And of course, as always, we hear from you at 343-0106. I mean, we can, and we are, going to talk about the Sharia law thing from this morning, what Tommy Tuberville said. We're going to talk about that. Oh, also, let me give you another audio clue. This isn't a clue. This is just a tease, as we call it in the business. It is, it's this right here. You ready?
Commies.
You right there, one more time.
Commies.
Okay, we'll talk about commies, or a ad talking about commies that's out today. We'll talk about that with Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com. He's joining us here in just a little bit. So that's all on the way on today's show. We've got that going on. Also, the hour number two of the show, we'll get into a little more discussion about what happened last week with the Mobile City Council's vote here on subsidizing Amtrak service in and out of the city of Mobile, and maybe some timeline on where that goes from here. We'll talk about that and some Mardi Gras. Steve McNair is going to join us at 1 o'clock to talk about those items and a whole lot more. Plus, the stat out here, Auburn named one of the most conservative colleges or universities in the country. Okay, so Auburn, now I will say on this list, Auburn showed up with a bunch of schools you would expect. You know, colleges or universities you would expect, well, colleges, you'd expect them to be conservative because they're Christian colleges, you know, Bible colleges, different things like that. And then Auburn makes that same list. So I want to get into that in a little bit. But Auburn, yes, Auburn on the list of most conservative colleges in America. Now, it didn't beat it. Well, here it is. Here's the list. Story comes from Lita Gore over at AL.com. And so I don't know what this means for the game coming up this week. Of course, Alabama and Auburn, round two for the basketball teams. I don't know if this ranking will affect the basketball. I don't know if Coach Pearl has heard about this, but Lita's story says Alabama's home to one of the most conservative colleges in the country, according to recent rankings. The Nietzsche used... Was it Nietzsche or Nietzsche? What, N-I-C-H-E. Nietzsche used student surveys on political preferences to determine its list. The 10 most conservative colleges were BYU, Brigham Young University, number two, Cedarville University in Cedarville, Ohio. The are they the Fighting Cedars or Liberty University? They're in Lynchburg, of course. Then Brigham Young University, BYU, Provo, so the Provo campus. Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. Franciscan University in Steubenville, Ohio. Colorado Christian University, Lakewood, Colorado. Cornerstone University, Grand Rapids, Michigan. Oklahoma Christian University, Edmond, Oklahoma. Oral Roberts University, Tulsa, Oklahoma. So you get the, so there's the top 10, all Christian colleges, right? Except for, yeah, I mean, LDS or Christian colleges, every one of them. Then you get down to Alabama's first entry, Samford University in Birmingham at number 16. Samford is, I think, aren't they associated with the Baptist Church? Correct me if I'm wrong. I think Samford is. The next entry, Troy University at 65, and Auburn University coming in at 96 on the list of most conservative universities. Okay. Alabama, University of Alabama, Tuscaloosa, 138. So here's your rankings for most conservative colleges, at least here in Alabama. Samford at 16, Troy at 65, Auburn at 96, Alabama at 138. Okay, now, I don't see any USA's rankings not up here. So, South, I don't know. I can't help y'all there. It said, on the opposite side of the political spectrum, the only Alabama school ranked among the top 150 on the list of most liberal schools, Tuskegee University, ranked the 112th most liberal college in America. So there you go. So just letting you know where the rankings are as we look at, is this preseason for rankings for conservative colleges or not? I'm not sure where we are in the season on that, but that's just where things line up. Yeah, so Jason's asking University of Mobile. It didn't, you know, Jason, I don't know if, I don't know if there was any kind of metric here that they had to be a certain size, because Samford, I don't think, would be much bigger than University of Mobile. So, Jay, you ask a good question, Jason. I don't know why University of Mobile wasn't on the list. I'm just, these are the words that they typed on the page, and they got a study they're talking about. So, where University of Mobile is on that, I don't know. Maybe we'll ask Lita Gore with AL.com, see what she comes up with. All right, we're talking about Alabama. That's what we do a lot when we talk to Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, ALDailyNews.com. Week two of session in Montgomery, they had the filed bills last week. Now they're kind of simmering, gone to committee. Now we get some debate, some action in Montgomery. What's that action look like? Well, we'll talk about that with Todd when we get back. Also, as you look at the Senate race, you look at the House race, new campaign ads out, and we'll talk a little bit about the new campaign ads, especially one that says
commies. Commies.
Commies. All right, the commies ad on the way. Y'all stay close.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
Oh, yeah, let that roll. Hey, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Text lines open at 343-0106. Just scoring the... Jason's about the only of the texts I want to get into. Jason was asking why University of Mobile was not on the list. I don't know, Jason, but other than we'll dig into that. Maybe there'll be some... there may be some explanation where they say, oh, it's got to have a certain number of students or something like that. I don't know. But we're reading the rankings of most conservative schools in America. And once again, here's your score for Alabama. Samford came in at number 16. Troy came in at 65. Auburn came in at 96. And Alabama at number 138. So, well, let's do this, because I'll bring our buddy Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, ALDailyNews.com, on with us, and he can, you can enjoy that, another win for you there at Auburn. Y'all are 96 on the conservative list. My alma mater, University of Alabama, Roll Tide, 138. And I was probably the cause of that, right?
Yeah, I don't know what to think. I mean, without seeing the rest of the list, but I mean,
don't. It's today's news cycle. Just react. Don't look into anything or research. Just react. Just react to it.
I think Auburn is naturally pretty conservative, just because of the kind of students that go there. I mean, it's engineering, architecture, you know, agriculture, business. I mean, those are the types of students. Sure, there's liberal arts. Sure, there's artistic stuff. But you know, that's the kind of students that go to Auburn. So they're naturally tend to be more conservative.
Yeah, you should have seen me in the communications building at the University of Alabama. I was, anything got called Genghis Khan on a daily basis, you know. So it's a different.
Well,
different
and I would, you know, ever since Alabama started making a big push for out-of-state students, that has to affect it, right? I mean, I guess it was probably 10 years ago or so that they really wanted to push the out-of-state students and bring in, which is great for a lot of reasons. But I mean, when you're pulling from, you know, way outside of the state of Alabama, then yeah, you're probably going to get some more liberal students.
Now, always made for interesting dates, though. So that's we'll leave it that way. Let's talk about some polling out there and what leads the list this morning from ALDailyNews.com. And that is a poll showing Governor Ivey and President Trump with high approval. Well, it's kind of at least one part of it I expected.
Yeah, and I mean, nobody's going to be surprised at this headline that, you know, that Governor Kay Ivey and President Donald Trump have high approval ratings in the state of Alabama. But, you know, Sean, we've been looking forward to releasing this polling. We did it last week. It's a statewide poll. We're going to be releasing it a day at a time. So today was the Trump and Ivey approval numbers, and you can go and kind of read into all the different crosstabs. Tomorrow we'll show the numbers for Trump versus all the Democratic opponents. Now, of course, that's all the opponents versus Trump in the state of Alabama. Now, you know, spoiler alert, he's winning. But
you don't say.
I mean, this is all voters, Republicans and Democrats. And so what it shows maybe is the difference. And, you know, some Democrats have a little more support than others. So that's going to be interesting. So we've timed it right for New Hampshire voting day. And, of course, we'll have numbers on the Senate race. We'll have some legislative issues like the lottery and the education amendment. And also the Supreme Court race that's coming up on the ballot too.
Okay, so people need to check
polling week.
So people need to check each day. You're going to update each day,
right? So today was polling for Governor Ivey and President Trump. Tomorrow will be Trump versus the field. Every day we'll release something else. But yeah, look. So Governor Ivey, you know, this is asking voters: do you approve or disapprove of Kay Ivey's job performance as governor? 64% of voters said that they do approve. Only 29% said that they disapprove, and 7% said they weren't sure. That's a really high approval rating.
And it surprised me. It surprised me, Todd. I'll be frank with you.
Well, you know, I think there's a couple of factors at work here. Number one is she gets stronger support from African Americans than you might think. Certainly stronger than Donald Trump gets. So Trump's approval rating, do you approve of or disapprove of Donald Trump's job performance as president? 58% said approve, and 37% said disapprove. 5% were not sure. So, you know, Kay Ivey has a 6-point better approval rating than Donald Trump. Where does it come into? How does that work? If you go look at the rest of the numbers, which we have online at ALDailyNews.com, a lot of it can be attributed to their popularity with black voters. Black voters give Governor Ivey a 41% approval rating compared to 50% disapproval. That's really strong, considering her party affiliation. Donald Trump, only 11% of black voters approve of his job performance, where 82% disapprove. So I think that's where it is. And, you know, Trump is so polarizing. Everybody knows they're either supposed to love him or hate him. Whereas Kay Ivey, you know, it's not being governor is not exactly Republican and Democrat all the time. And so I think that's probably where part of it comes in.
Looking at this, because I thought, I don't know who published it, but it was something I saw this morning early that maybe Van Jones was on one of the Sunday shows or something. I'm drawing a blank on where I got it. But he was basically warning other Democrats that President Trump was making inroads with black voters, and that that could be the game changer for the Democrats. You know, nothing they could do about getting people out to the polls could work against the fact that black voters may show up to the polls to vote for President Trump. So, you look at that 11% approval rate, that's I guess if you get 11%, nationally, that may move things. I don't know the last election what percentage voted for voted for President Trump and who how many voted against it. I don't know. I don't know if it's 11% or higher.
I saw that comment, like you said, from Van Jones, and he's a smart guy.
Yeah, he is. Yeah,
he knows what he's talking about, and he was basically warning the Democratic Party, like, hey, the State of the Union, the president was absolutely communicating with Black Americans on issues they care about, like school choice, like opportunity, and things like this. So, yeah, he's making a play for it. The question becomes if he actually wins it. Now, I'll say this, 11%, that may say that's really small, and it probably doesn't translate into a vote for Donald Trump, because after all, once you go to the polls, you're going to see that R&D. But it's better than, you know, it's better than zero. It's better than 1 or 2 or 3%.
Right.
I will say this. Ivy's is impressive. 41%.
Yeah,
that's an impressive number.
It's good.
Any governor from either party would like to have, you know, that kind of number from in this case, it's black Alabamians. Any Republican governor would love to have that approval rating from the black voters in their state. So they're probably really smiling today in the governor's office.
I'm looking, though, a lot of interesting takeouts, but we're going to tell people how they can go look at this right now on their online. But and you break down Governor Kay Ivey job performance by party. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Republicans, 84% of Republicans approve of the job that Kay Ivey's doing, but 11% disapprove. And 9% are unsure. That's the interesting thing to me. It's not, you know, in the independent, I guess it's a little bit interesting. The Democrat is not. It's interesting. It's intra-party that I just wonder. I mean, with what happened with the bridge and the toll, and then the kind of the roughing up of some members of the legislature last session on the gas tax. You know, I hear rumblings amongst Republicans that want a dissent with Governor Ivey. You know, I wonder how big that is. It 11% of the members of the legislature, or is that, you know?
Well, look, when I saw the numbers come back, I had that same thought, because you look at President Trump, and you know his dominance of the party is pretty obvious.
Yeah, compare that. Tell people. Yeah,
97% of Republicans approve of the job President Trump is doing. 97%, only 1% disapprove.
Yes,
I'm kind of curious about the 2% that aren't sure. But.
okay.
So, yeah, you know, in comparison, Governor Ivey's are a little different. So 84% approve, 11% disapprove. Well, yeah, I could see how that's a gas tax uptick, right? I mean, 11% disapprove. I could see that within the party, within the Republican Party.
Right.
I could see that being a gas tax uptick. Now, look, you know, she makes up for it in other ways. But, yeah, I could see that being the difference.
You know, it's interesting, too, that you look at the Governor Kay Ivey job performance by region, and I would have thought South Alabama, because of the toll thing, would have been way higher, but actually South Alabama is tied with North Alabama at 26%, and only Birmingham disapproves more and the Montgomery area, but I thought South Alabama would have had the highest disapproval than you'd gone on down the list. We got Todd back.
Yeah, okay, well, one thing about the South Alabama numbers that you should know is can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, that goes all the way over to the Wiregrass. So that's not just Baldwin. That's not just Baldwin and Mobile. It goes all the way over to the Wiregrass. So maybe that if we just left it to Mobile and Baldwin, it could be higher because of that. But yeah, it goes all the way over to the Wiregrass.
All right, and then on President Trump's job performance by region, it's what, East Alabama and North Alabama that I guess he's the favorite, and South Alabama close third.
Yeah, all these regional comparisons are interesting. I think obviously the Birmingham Metro, the Montgomery Metro that have a higher concentration of black voters, those you're seeing more disapproval come out of. That's, you know, that's pretty obvious there. But I do think, you know, one thing this poll shows is how different voters really react to governors versus presidents.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knows who President Trump is. Everybody knows, has an opinion about his job performance and all this kind of stuff. Kay Ivey, these are some of the most mature polling numbers that are available on her and the job performance that she's done, because now she's in year three of her administration. So I do find it interesting that people are finally figuring her out and how to weigh in on her job performance.
You know, I do wonder if you said, obviously, they're enjoying those numbers at the governor's mansion. And she hadn't declared one way or another, but there's a lot of us that felt like Governor Ivey might not run for might not run again. I wonder if they look at this and say, well, maybe we should go for it.
You know, something tells me that polling won't really be a part of it. It'll probably just be if she feels up to it and stuff like that. But I think most everybody is of the opinion, you know, that like, you know, it's probably going to be this one term elected. Obviously, she served a year before that, taking over for Bentley, so it'll be more than just a four-year term, but I'm not aware of anybody that really thinks that Kay Ivey's going to run for yet another term as governor. But well, there's also a long way to go. But this to me is more about policy. It's about legislation and, you know, having a mandate. It really helps governors. Just like it helps presidents, it really helps governors to have numbers out there to know that, hey, the people really support me and approve of the job that I'm doing. That helps them go to the legislature and get things that they want to say, hey,
mm-hmm.
you know, I know this is going to be a tough vote, but I'm going to come down to your district and tell people how great you are. And those folks tend to like me a lot. So that's why poll numbers like this matter.
All right, coming right back, more with Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com. He'll tell you how to get the information we're talking about today in your inbox each weekday morning. And also we'll talk about commies.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. By the way, online, fmtalk1065.com. Not only can you get podcasts of 40-plus hours a week of live local programming that spring forth from the FM Talk 106.5 studios, in addition, the Moon Pie Minute, which, of course, is a story of Mardi Gras that we tell from the beginning, the whole way through Ash Wednesday. If you've missed past episodes, it's okay. We got them waiting for you in podcast form by going to fmtalk1065.com. Just click the link for the Moon Pie Minute. You can get those podcasts, and while you're there, check out the parade schedule for here on through Fat Tuesday. It's all waiting for you at fmtalk1065.com. All right, continue our conversation with Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com. And by the way, speaking of websites, tell them how to go to your website and how to get signed up for that email. Have we lost? We lost Todd? We'll try to. What's going on today? Todd, are you there? All right. Technology is a trap. It's a good trap, but it's a trap nonetheless. I tell you what, Dalton. Yeah, there we go. Todd's back. All right, Todd, we got you back.
Yeah, I apologize.
No problem.
It's really easy. Just go to aldailynews.com. That's the homepage. Of course, you're going to want to sign up for the email. That's where we publish every day, and it's really easy. Just go to the top of the page, click subscribe, enter your name and your email, and you'll be on the list.
All right, and we repeat this over and over, but it is true. I mean, it's always a valuable resource year round, but holy cow, right now with the primaries just, 3 weeks away?
Primary is 22 days away, so yeah, you're looking at 3 weeks, March 3rd. I'm really intrigued by this primary, especially in Alabama, with really intriguing races, not just at the congressional level there in AL1 over in AL2, but statewide. We got a big statewide Senate race that matters not just for the state of Alabama, but the entire country. The entire country is watching this. It's right now is a great time to be reading Alabama political news.
All right, so we're going to get to the Senate race in a second because I got lots of things to talk about there as well. But first, down here, in our neck of the woods, AL1 in the congressional race. New ad dropped today for Chris Pringle. We go ahead and run, and y'all will miss some of it because some of it's visual in this, but we'll come back and fill in the blanks here in a second. So let's roll the audio from the new ad. Okay, let's try again. We'll roll the audio from the new ad.
I'm Chris Pringle. I know how to build walls. So in Washington, I'll help President Trump build his.
Chris Pringle, A+ NRA, pro-life, big time pro-Trump.
Walls protect us from America's enemies, and I have the perfect place for another. I'm Chris Pringle, and I approve this message, because I'll build whatever wall it takes for America to stop illegal immigrants and stop these radical socialists.
Commies.
The commies line. And if what you didn't see is Chris Pringle is building a wall. He's got the mortar out. He's got the cinder blocks out. He's building a wall. He builds a wall in front of Nancy Pelosi's office, or a mock-up therein. So what do you, I mean, score that ad. You've been doing this a long time, Todd. What do you think?
Look, I think it's a quality ad. It's Chris Pringle, who is at either third or second in this race, depending on what polls you're looking at, needs to stand out. He's got two other opponents that are really well-funded. He's got to really stand out in this race, and so he has produced an ad that really, I think, can help him stand out. It's clever. It's funny. It has the possibility to go viral, and yep. So I think, yeah, it's a real... it's a well-timed, probably, and especially with the frustration everybody has over Nancy Pelosi building a wall in front of her office. So, well done. We'll see how well it goes over.
Well, you know, I think the beauty of it, you talk about going viral, the last part there, the commies line, will, you know, those that on the left that will want to be offended will take offense. It may get, you know, beyond statewide recognition. They may, you know, take umbrage with it and just get more attention.
Oh, sure. That's part of the point, right, is triggering people on something like this. And that'll happen. You watch. Watch Twitter. Watch Facebook. People will start saying how awful this is and how, you know, he's such, or, you know, maybe they'll call him a racist or things like that. I mean, and surely those considerations went into the production of this ad. Like, hey, you know, how can we really get a bunch of folks to start talking about it? It's not unlike what Jessica Taylor has done in the 2nd District with the whole squad, you know, AOC and all that kind of stuff. So those kind of things work. Plus, we've talked about this a lot, Sean, as far as running against your opponents versus running against a common opponent. You know, he doesn't need to go and attack his fellow Republican candidates for office. He has chosen Nancy Pelosi as his opponent. And there, look, through the 2000s, people made a lot of hay that way. It's been used very effectively. She's well known. She's in the news. So they've picked her as the as a common opponent to run against. I think it's probably pretty smart.
And in this case, because I've brought attention to this in the past, but in this case, there's a legitimate link, and the link would be you're running for the House of Representatives. Speaker of the House is Nancy Pelosi. Now, when this has been done in the past, when it was done during the Obama years, and people that were running for Public Service Commission, you know, we're talking about how they were, you know, what they were going to do to oppose Obama. I rolled my eyes. I got to be frank with you.
Oh, yeah. How many anti-Obama ads have we seen? Yeah, from people who were never going to come within, you know, any decision that came before him. Or the opposite. How many people have said how supportive they are of President Trump without running for Congress or Senate or anything? You know, from the state legislature. Yeah, I'm going to support Trump from the state legislature. I mean, you see, yeah, you can roll your eyes about stuff like this. But for a person who's running for the House, for Congress, to really take aim at Nancy Pelosi, that's fair. You know, you may not like what he says, and I'm sure it'll be, you know, criticized and picked apart. But it's not too far off from what I remember candidates like Martha Roby and Mo Brooks and Bradley Byrne running at, you know, at different points throughout the early 2010s, taking aim at Nancy Pelosi. So we'll see. Again, the biggest thing is standing out. You notice that in his ad, he says, "I'm Chris Pringle," I think twice, maybe three times.
Yeah.
And so he's got to stand out at this point. And having something that does say, "Hey, did you see that thing? See that ad where..."
He says commies.
You know, he's going to build a wall. Da, 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 da. I mean, that's the kind of you know, traction he needs to get. So that's obviously a big part of it. If he just goes on TV and says, "I'm Chris Pringle, I'm a conservative," and yada yada, it's not very memorable. This can be memorable.
Oh, I agree. All right, we'll move on. Speaking of, and we'll get to Senate here in a second, but a story on the email today and a story that they can read more of on the website from Carolyn Beck. That is the Southern Poverty Law Center report claims voter suppression is alive and well in Alabama. Educate me. I'm going to come into this zero, neutral. Explain to me how this voter suppression, how does the SPLC say the voter suppression works in Alabama?
Well, the Southern Poverty Law Center came out with a report just today, actually. And so Caroline Beck, who reports for Alabama Daily News, got it in advance and did some reporting. And essentially, what they are, it's a big, long report, so you have to go read all of it. But what they've said is that voter suppression still occurs in the state of Alabama. They call it alive and well, just through different policies or the lack thereof. That makes voting hard.
Is this back to the ID thing? Is this that ID equals suppression?
They certainly don't like that part of it, but that's not what the report really focuses on. They're talking about restoring voting rights for former inmates. They're talking about transparency in election management. A big complaint of theirs, and actually it's not limited to SPLC, but a lot of people don't like this. To access the state's voter list, you've got to pay the Secretary of State's office about $35,000. That's a common, anybody that's run a campaign before in the state of Alabama knows that that's just part of it. That's the cost of doing business. But that's a public document. And so there's always been complaints about why does anybody have to pay $35,000 to the state just to access a public document that could be made available, you know, on an Excel spreadsheet. So that's one of them.
That's a racket. But how does that? And I'll agree. And I maybe get some bipartisan support that is a racket out there. It's our document. But how does that keep? How does a candidate not getting that list keep somebody suppressed from voting?
Well, this isn't about campaigns. That's my comparison. That what they're saying is that there's no way to really dive down deep into the voting numbers. To say how successful we've been at registering voters, purging of the list, things like that, unless you have access to the state's voting roll, which you've got to pay for. So it's just a transparency issue. And again, Sean, it's, you know, I know you know this, and your readers or your listeners who are my readers understand that, you know, when we report on these things, we're not taking a position. This is just, you know, a report that came out. Obviously, Secretary Merrill disagrees quite a bit, very strongly, with the claims made by SPLC. And so everybody gets their say. But it's an interesting read. I think, you know, just the fact that they're going back and forth on these issues pertaining to voter rights and access to the ballot. I think the inmate question is interesting because Merrill said, look, we've tried to make it easier for former inmates to work, I mean, to vote. But responsibility of pardons and paroles to actually carry that out. We can't even do it if we wanted to. So as always, there's kind of some interagency backlash here, you know, some tension saying, look, this is y'all's job to do, and if it's not getting done, then talk to pardons and paroles.
All right. Well, I want to shift gears now onto the Senate race, and this is reminiscent because Tommy Tuberville was on with me, this is last year. It's been months and months and months and months ago. And he was on, and we were talking about the border at that point. And he said on the show that he said, well, there are more Middle Eastern people and more people of Muslim faith, and I'm paraphrasing here, but the podcast is out there somewhere, coming across the border than there are people from Central America. That was a big Central America push at that point. And I went, is that provable? You know, I mean, I had to stop and say, is that right? He said, oh, yeah, that's right. I have people on the border telling me that. Of course, that story went statewide that he had claimed that, which, you know, turns out to not be accurate. And I don't doubt there are people getting across the border that aren't coming from Central America that have nefarious plans, but they are not the majority of people coming across the border. Now, this weekend at the Mid-Alabama Republican Club, I guess Tommy Tuberville is warning people that Sharia law has taken over. And, you know, you and I have talked about this before. There'll probably be a bill filed this session in Montgomery to prevent Sharia law from taking over in Alabama. There's a lot of things I worry about in our state. Sharia law taking over is not one of them.
Yeah, you know, I didn't listen to that interview, but I can just hear it in my head right now. And, I mean, what frustrates me about that is that there are honest-to-God problems that need solutions. There are honest-to-God fights that need to take place over the future of the country, and you know, we can talk about those. We should talk about those. But when you get stuck in these nonsense issues, Sharia law. I mean, come on, where is that a problem? And,
right.
And it reminds me just the kind of the origins of fake news.
You know, yep.
If something just seems bad, and makes me angry, and it sort of pumps my endorphins, then I'll share it and get everybody else worked up. That does nothing to move the discourse forward. The problem
makes you
is,
sound I, silly. I'm just going to say what I'll say it. I think it works against Tommy Tuberville's campaign because, yes, there are some people that it's red meat and they'll be, yeah, I'm glad he's talking about that, but they are not the majority of voters. I think majority of voters say exactly what you said. Come on, man. Let's talk about how you're going to support, you know, President Trump's agenda or what you're going to do for the state of Alabama. This is not the clear and present danger.
I certainly hope that's the case. My fear is that it actually helps his campaign to talk about nonsense like this, because as discerning as you are, Sean, and as your listeners are, there are plenty of people out there who would just say, heck yeah, that's right, kick them all out, and you know, latch onto that. There's a reason why fake news is so prevalent, because folks are gullible enough to believe it and to, you know, get snookered by it. So but as candidates, if you're a candidate for the U.S. Senate, I don't care if you don't have experience in politics. I know that's his thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if you are a former coach and don't have experience, you know, in public policy. It's irresponsible. It's unfortunate that you'd go and share clearly mistaken information just to rile people up. It's irresponsible. It has no place in our modern politics.
But the problem is, it's, you know, like things that are too good to be true. People get duped by that all the time. So
the only way it's ever going to change is if we quit rewarding politicians for trying to speak to the lowest common denominator. They want us to be dumb and fall for tricks like that, or just be convinced that, you know, you set up a problem and then, produce yourself as the person. And I'm not picking on Tommy Tuberville. Everybody does it to one degree or the other. But when I hear Sharia law and when I hear that Muslims outnumber Central Americans on the board, that's nonsense.
It is.
So we've all got to be better. But the only way it changes is if they quit getting rewarded from it by the voters. That's why Alabama Daily News exists. I know that's why you guys are on the air, to make sure people are informed. So it's up to us.
That's true. All right. One more time, tell folks how to get that email in their inbox and talk about the website.
Absolutely. Now's a great time to be subscribed to Alabama Daily News. Again, we've got all the polling coming out this week, and you'll see it first if you're on the email. It's just aldailynews.com. That's the homepage. Go to subscribe at the top, put your name and your email, and you'll be on the list. No cost at all. And we'd be glad to have you as a member.
All right. As always, I appreciate it and can't wait to watch the reporting this week as that poll information comes out. Each day, we'll check back in for more details.
All right, Sean, be good.
All right. I'm going to try to. You get it done. That's Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News. A lot to watch this week, too, in Montgomery, and we'll be getting updates from him. All right, 1251 FM Talk 106.5. We're coming right back. We'll take some calls and text at 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:54 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile on this Monday. Phone number, text line 343-0106, 343-0106. All right, the new ad from Chris Pringle has a couple people talking here on the text line. Building the wall, Matt says it's like the new crack. Look, folks, I'm building the wall. Yes, listen, it's this, I will argue this, Matt, and usually I am right there with you. I am like the lead person in rolling my eyes on things. But if you watch this ad, it's not just the, I want to build a wall on the border just like President Trump. He's building the wall in front of Nancy Pelosi's office. I think it's a new and a creative way to do. Yes, is it a thing that has been used too many times elsewhere? Sure, it has. Sure, it has. Although, you know, some of us and people listen to the station, we're listening and thinking politics all the time. Maybe we're worn out by it before the general voter that just woke up, you know, and said, I think we have a primary coming up in March. So as part of it. But also in this case, he builds the wall in front of Speaker Pelosi's office. And that's why I give deference here, because that's legitimately part of the job. Running for AL1, running for the House of Representatives, you will be there in the body that is now in Democrat hands, and Nancy Pelosi's the Speaker. Okay, that's legitimate. This is different than the stuff, and we will hear some more of it as you run statewide races and people that are running against what's going on in Washington. Like, you know, when somebody is running for, I don't know, you pick. I keep picking on PSC, but I do for good reason. You know, you're running for Public Service Commission, and they tell you, yeah, and we're going to oppose the squad. You're like, dude, or dudette. How about you just do the management of utilities? Leave the rest of that, because that's not your job, and like, there's no way you can actually interact with them. So in this case, I see it different, because there is he's running for the House of Representatives. That's where he would have the opportunity to build a wall in front of Nancy Pelosi's office. So that's what I'm saying. Let's see. All right, Neil says, is it 9 out of 10 or is it 9/10? Nine out of 10 ISIS fighters are for open borders. Are you siding with ISIS? I'm Tommy Tuberville, and I approve this message. Neil, that's funny. Good stuff. Once again, this is... That's not saying that... There are so many issues to talk about. And when you take this stuff... Because I know in this binary world, somebody will text in or call in and be like, well, I guess you're for Sharia law then. No, dum-dum, I'm not for Sharia law. I'm just saying that that is not the clear and present danger in the Alabama Senate race. You know, it's just, and we get these bills filed in Montgomery where they're like, I'm passing a resolution to make Sharia law illegal in the United States. Like, thank goodness. You can't, nothing else to work. How about some lotto? How about we work on the lotto before we do the other thing? So it's, you know, it's a move that, and I think Todd is right, if those people continue to be rewarded for saying that by a bunch of people saying, yeah, that's right, I'm glad you're going to take on Sharia law because that's the number one thing you should be doing, then they keep doing it. And no, that does not mean you can point something out as silly, and that doesn't mean you want Sharia law. You just have a list of things that would be important for the senator from Alabama to be taking on. Sharia law may be down the list. Right. Okay, so you got the text line, you got the email. You can flood me with all the reasons I'm wrong because of something you read on a Facebook post. I know. All right, coming back, hour number two of Midday Mobile, Dr. Stephen McNair joins me. We're going to talk some trains and some Mardi Gras and maybe combine the two into one. Well, maybe. We'll see. That's coming up next right here on FM Talk 106.5. Phone number, text line 343-0106.